This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. The U.S. Department of Transportation announced today the state of Wisconsin will return more than $800 million intended to fund the expansion of high-speed rail service between Milwaukee and Madison that would ultimately have enhanced rail service to the entire state. In this hour, the perspective of one longtime advocate of improved passenger rail service and how that could benefit western Wisconsin. Wisconsin Association of Railroad Passengers President John Parkin of Stoddard helps us understand why he believes high-speed rail is needed. Earlier this week, he spoke with Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Rysom about the benefits of high-speed rail and the long-term impact of turning down the federal project, something that's been a goal of incumbent Governor Scott Walker.
Well, my reaction and the reaction of our organization, the Wisconsin Association of Railroad Passengers, is a negative one. Both political parties in Wisconsin have worked a long time to add this mode of transportation, and we finally have unlike most places, a federal grant that covers all of it rather than something requiring a 10 or 20% state match. So, in effect, it's our federal tax money that would be spent in our state for once rather than other places. And the idea that we would give it back is some sort of political statement, particularly since the governor of New York, Mr. Cuomo, and two other governors have asked specifically that the Wisconsin money be transferred to them. As you might imagine, it's very negative. I'm from Wisconsin. I want to see Wisconsin thrive. I have no interest in sending a subsidy to the state of New York.
You're the president of the Wisconsin Association of Railroad Passengers. From your perspective, how long have we been waiting for high-speed rail?
Actually, several decades. You may recall that during the Eisenhower administration in the late 50s, the president at that time, Republican, happened to feel that it was necessary that we upgrade the national highways. He was a retired Army general. He felt it was important for national defense that we be able to move. And he had seen a lot of that in Europe between the rail lines and the highways. So the idea was, following that eventually we would upgrade rail. Rail is certainly equally important. Because of the use of passenger cars and airlines, which are pretty heavily subsidized, rail passenger tended to drop off. So in the 1970s, Amtrak was established, took it over from the railroads, and of course has had very explosive growth. So it's important that we get the people moving back on the rails as much as we can, because we pretty well maxed out our highways and our places to put them. And, of course, it's much cheaper, both in terms of dollars to the person and in terms of energy used. So it's a major issue on energy independence that we often quote.
Has high-speed rail been traditionally something that Democrats and Republicans, and not everybody in either party, but it has been a bipartisan sort of perspective on the future?
Yes. Remember, first take the high speed out, just the ideal rail passenger. The chairman of the board of Amtrak and one often called its greatest political leader was a man named Tommy Thompson, who was governor of Wisconsin for 10 years. So within our state, going back several administrations and certainly within the country, this has always been bipartisan. So this split is very unfortunate. It does not serve the public. It serves one political agenda, and a lot of us who are nonpartisan aren't even sure what political agenda that is now that the election's over.
Is the Madison-Milwaukee route needed to make high-speed rail a success in Wisconsin?
Long term, certainly. If you're going to upgrade the spokes of the Midwest Regional Rail Initiative, which was approved by Congress, one of the four spokes was to connect Chicago to the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul because of the economic issues. And by fortunate, we happen to live in the state that's between them, and that's the only reason it's of such great opportunity for us. So La Crosse, Tolma, Madison, Milwaukee, and on down to Chicago are critical to having the whole Midwest network actually function at all, whether it's conventional speed or high speed. So if you pull the first piece out of it, you're back where you are. It's gotten as far as Milwaukee. Milwaukee to Chicago was upgraded by Governor Thompson to 6 to 7 trains a day. The 140 or 50,000 year that wrote it will be just about 800,000 this year. So within 4 years, 3 years, it'll be 1 million people a year that aren't on the parallel highway and aren't trying to find places to park in either city downtown.
Do we need the Madison-Milwaukee line to make high-speed rail part of our future?
I believe we do. In other words, the current route is cutting across the state, bypassing Madison. There are rail lines into and out of Madison. So because it's a state economic function, Madison's fairly large, has a state capital. When you add it to the line that's supposed to go to Green Bay, what you've done is you've tied all the major urban areas in Wisconsin together by passenger rail. So if you chop the Milwaukee-Madison connection out, then basically you've taken the first leg out. So then the question is, will it ever proceed further?
I wonder how much stimulus money? This was $810 million?
I think
million?
It was 820-some million.
$20 million?
Yeah. But it's not all for that. There were some smaller amounts for other segments.
Given the amount of money, I mean, if we, you know, pardon the pun, missed a train this time around, do you think it's less likely to happen in the future?
I don't think it will happen in the future. In other words, Wisconsin is shortlisted as one of the most economically distressed states in the nation. One news related is in the bottom five. I've heard the bottom 10. So I don't think the state has enough economic strength to pay to replace this with state taxpayer money. And, you know, it's a lot of money if you start talking 800 and some million. So I don't see any mechanism to do it in the future. You would have to go back through a federal grant program that may give you somewhere between 50 and 80% of it, but you'd still have to come up with some of it. And so I think it's now, or at least in the immediate, let's talk the next 20, 25 years, will not happen because the money is being grabbed by all the other states. I guess they're a little smarter than we are. They see the chance. And those are the ones that we have to compete with. And Wisconsin's one of the top manufacturing states in America. It's really going to hurt it.
If the high-speed rail line had become a success, or may still become a success, who knows, where would we get the money for upkeep? I've spoken with somebody at a Department of Transportation meeting. They had come into town to talk about a proposed line between Milwaukee and the Twin Cities. And somebody asked, why can't we just upgrade what we have right now?
Well, by and large, we are. Remember, there is nothing in the Midwest Regional Rail Initiative that's not already existing freight rail. So these are upgrades. These aren't new lines, you know, taking homes or taking green space or open space. Basically, you can run, obviously, on any route, and that's why they're doing the environmental impact statement up the Twin Cities. The cheapest, which is a word I use because that's the way I am on a lot of stuff, was to use the routes recommended for the Midwest Regional Rail Initiative, literally because going into Madison by any other route than existing rail would get you into confiscating land, homes, businesses. So the rail's there. It's just a question of bringing it up to a condition that it can routinely carry that many more trains a day. Remember, there's 6 trains a day each way. And bring the speed up to cut the travel time down so that it's fully competitive with air.
What was your opinion about Governor Doyle sort of stepping away from the high-speed rail decision, saying, I'm leaving it for the next governor?
I think it was an errant judgment on the part of Governor Doyle.
Why?
Because the contracts were signed. It went through the legislature. We all elected that legislature. It was signed by Doyle. We elected Doyle. What's the future of any contracting with government at any level in Wisconsin? And I've been on a county board and a school board if a subsequent one can break already signed contracts.
What would be the benefit for, I guess I'll choose the La Crosse area since this is where we're recording this, with high-speed rail, has there been any in-depth reports as to what this would mean to tourism, to business, whatever?
Well, of course, it already means quite a bit that we have one Amtrak stop, and that's just by the luck of the fact that the trains go through here on their way to Seattle and Portland via Minneapolis. Generally, we're the second or third highest used rail station in the state of Wisconsin. That's just with one train. So, of course, the opportunity to have multiple trains so business can use it. You know, the business leaders in La Crosse have been behind it, the Chamber of Commerce, or local development corp. Virtually everybody from tourism to manufacturing here in La Crosse area has recognized what it would mean because we're sort of captive to incredibly expensive air right now. And my 3 trips that I've taken for work in the last month and a half have been 1,200, 900 and something, and 500 and something. And the 500 I had to drive Minneapolis. So it doesn't take too long to figure out that we need options if we're, one, going to attract business here, and two, maintain what we've got. We can't be paying those fares. It's the only option of getting people in and out of here.
You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio's Newsmakers. With us, John Parkin of Stoddard. He is the president of the Wisconsin Association of Railroad Passengers. If railroad, I guess high-speed rail, we've officially put the kibosh on it, if that actually is what happens. As president, what is the future for railroad passengers?
Well, we, of course, will continue to push, as we have for the last 30 or 40 years, to get sanity into this. We'll certainly work on the Wisconsin legislature and remind them that the entire assembly is up for reelection in 2 years. Half of the Senate is, and that the governor can be given direction by the legislature even though he's in for 4 years. So we'll educate as many people as we can to the economic impacts of not having it and hope that they will do the logical things, which are to educate the legislature on how far back do you want Wisconsin to go? How many jobs do you really want to lose on what appears to be just a political issue of the moment in the summer of 2010? So we won't go away.
Have you found that a lot of Wisconsinites really kind of know about high-speed rail, who get the sense that, you know, until recently this was something that was could very well happen? Or was this something that not a lot of us really knew about? Really, it seemed like some of those space-age city of tomorrow things.
Well, again, taking the high-speed off and just talking about upgrade of passenger rail in general, like the initiative had basically, a lot of the people in Wisconsin, even in the areas that are not immediately adjacent to it, are very aware of it. The percentage of people who favor it is extremely high. You often see polls, but they're often polls that have a certain slant to it. And that happens when you have a political campaign going on where you align Republicans and Democrats against each other. But outside of that, most people realize the common sense of having something that moves people relatively fast and is much less expensive than the other two options, pretty important to the state.
If we didn't hit this bump in the road, that is the governor-elect Walker saying we shouldn't go through with building this line, timeline, when could we have seen, and again, things could change, I'm keeping that in mind, when could we have seen a high-speed rail system up and running? In 5 years, 10?
Well, remember, segments, of course, are up and running, but the timeline out of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, as announced by Jim Doyle when I was there at an event, was to the Twin Cities by 2016. Of course, the preferred route is through La Crosse, which is the existing route, requires the least upgrading, and serves Minnesota. And, of course, MnDOT, the Minnesota Department of Transportation, is very aware of that, has a very advanced rail plan, and was ready to implement. So I will have to agree with Doyle's estimate that we could have been up and running, frankly, through La Crosse into the Twin Cities by 2016. But that counted on getting Madison done by 2013.
Do you think that a La Crosse or an Eau Claire high-speed route can happen without a Madison-Milwaukee route, a simple pared down high-speed?
Well, I'm certain that it can happen.
Question is, will it?
You certainly have the will it, and I guess you have the why. You know, when you start dropping off passenger origin points the size of Madison, then you start getting to the issue of can we do it without a public subsidy? And I'm fiscally a lot more conservative, as people found out in school board and county board, than most people. And I think this should be done with very little subsidy, if any, other than capital, the construction. And so when the Midwest Regional Rail Initiative was proposed in the mid-90s and embraced by Governor Thompson of Wisconsin, who took a leadership role, it showed that O&M on the nine-state coalition would always break even. And, of course, there's no reason why you can't charge enough to make it break even. So the idea was that the federal government and to some degree the states would contribute to the capital to get it started. But then the people who benefited, mainly the passengers and certainly the communities around it, would be funding its annual run. So there are other ways you can do it, but without the capital, it becomes more and more constraining. In other words, the existing track, part of this proposal, which a lot of people aren't aware of, is that from Watertown East, the old Milwaukee Road will be redouble tracked. So right now in La Crosse, you'll see anywhere from 20 to 26 freight trains a day, plus two passenger trains on that. The issue is, where did you add 12 more passenger trains, six north, six south? And that was by restoring double track in certain parts of it that are constrained. So to add more passenger even on the existing route, you're going to face the cost of constraint. The railroads are a private business, a good one, by the way, that La Crosse's heritage is built around. And so if you don't provide them the capital, then they can't very well put the rails down for you to use for passenger trains. And so incrementally it will become very difficult if we don't get federal money, and the federal money address the issue of double tracking on that impaired segment down to Madison. Going up to Portage and then across to La Crosse, you'd only have to face the double tracking issue from Portage to La Crosse. Years ago, a Wisconsin U.S. Senator named Kasten put through a bill to keep the Milwaukee Road from vanishing. The Soo Line had taken it over. Amtrak was considering taking the train out of La Crosse and running it by a different route through Illinois. And he got an appropriation to upgrade that route so that passenger could be retained. And the rail line pulled 80% of the second rail out. Remember, I mentioned they actually pay taxes on their stuff, like unlike airport and highways. So they upgraded one rail, and they took the second rail out, and they left 10,000-foot passing sidings. So that's an issue when you, even if you stay on the existing route, to have that kind of traffic, you're going to have to put capital in to double track it again.
How fast would the high-speed rail systems go? I've read that there's actually two sort of increments. It will go so fast, and after a while, it would go.
Well, right now, we run at 79 miles an hour. If you add cab controls into every locomotive on existing track, plus tighten the track specs up, you can go 90. The speed limit's 80 right now. High-speed rail, as we're calling it here, is 110 miles an hour. And that's as fast as you can generally run unless you want to get into issues like separating highways and reducing grade crossings. So from a practical viewpoint, trying to go above 110 to a lot of us doesn't make a great deal of sense. It's curvature, the number of slowdowns you have, what percentage of the time can you go at those higher speeds rather than the absolute highest speed you can hit. In East Coast, on the basically government-owned right-of-way in Washington, Boston, New York, they have 145 mile an hour, but they separated all the highway crossings. So the difference between the 110 and the 145 is a great deal of money. So over the years, if you develop the 110 and enough people ride it, you can start alleviating, I suppose, some of the grade crossings with bridges or underpasses. But that's not a practical thing for the public all at once. So 110 is the target for this. And there really isn't a stage between 110 and the current 79 or 80 that would be a step. In other words, you'd be redoing the track up to the 110 mile an hour because you're already going 80.
Have you been on any of the high-speed rails, say, in Europe?
I haven't had a lot of time in foreign countries. I have. My wife and I took a Girl Scout group to England years ago. And I did ride their 125 mile. They're pretty far ahead of us.
What's it like?
As long as you don't look down close to you, you can't tell you're going that fast. I mean, they're so smooth. I've ridden the one in Russia when I went over for the National Academy of Sciences, and pretty much the same. You know, they connect Moscow and spokes going out. So they're smooth enough where that the difference between driving, say, at 70 on an interstate and riding in a train at, you know, 125 is pretty negligible.
You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio's Newsmakers. With us is John Parkin of Stoddard. He is the president of the Wisconsin Association of Railroad Passengers. Any ideas, any strategies to hopefully, from your perspective, change the mind of Governor-elect Scott Walker?
Well, we're certainly trying to communicate with him, and we're communicating with our local legislators. Both candidates for governor ran on the job platform. And I realize we have very high unemployment in certain areas of Wisconsin. And I think the image of my federal tax money, because I pay taxes, all of us do, being sent to New York and layoff notices given to private industry in Wisconsin who are building this already because the manufacturer of the rail cars opened a factory up in Milwaukee and has already hired people. That's a bad image, and we've tried to convince, or will try to convince Governor Walker that that's in effect breaking a campaign promise to bring jobs here. You don't start that process by firing people.
How many jobs would have been created or will be created if this goes through?
I haven't memorized the numbers, but it's quite a few during construction. Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think the rail car manufacturers, well over 100, if I remember. It's a abandoned factory in Milwaukee that was usable. Of course, Milwaukee has a high unemployment issue. So we're hoping that he'll see that viewpoint and not give our money to New York and or another state, whichever would be next in line, and that, in fact, he'll say, I understand now that we can control the fares so that we don't have a local subsidy on operation and maintenance. He can take time. He endorsed the Chicago-Milwaukee one. Remember, he was or still is the executive of Milwaukee County. That one we spend of state money about $1 million a year on. There's about $4.5 million of federal money for highway congestion mitigation, so I think it's $5.5 million that goes into it. So the $4 million a year is comes out to about $1.20 to $1.25 a rider, and we certainly subsidize our local buses and other means of transportation in Wisconsin to probably a greater level than that. So I think if we can just point the common sense out of taking this and getting it done, engineering ahead for the Twin Cities connection, because that will bring Minnesota is very benefited by the level of activity, I think, in St. Paul and Minneapolis. It's not been hit as hard as other places have. And I think going through and to Wisconsin from the Twin Cities on this rail network is very important to the future. MnDOT is even talking about running a train over to Eau Claire and recognizes the vast number of people who commute into the Twin Cities every day on the west end of that. So I think it's the way things are going to go because gasoline prices are almost $3 a gallon across right now. The days when I was young and they were 25.9 cents a gallon are gone.
John Parkin of Stoddard is president of the Wisconsin Association of Railroad Passengers. He spoke with WPR's Steve Rysom about the prospects of losing more than $800 million of federal funding for a high-speed rail route between Milwaukee and Madison, a route designed to improve passenger train service to western Wisconsin and beyond. The U.S. Department of Transportation today announced that Wisconsin will give up the money. It'll now be shared with other states that do plan to expand passenger rail service in their states. Coming up in the next half hour, bell ringing of the Salvation Army at area retailers is certainly one of the most distinct sounds of charitable giving every holiday season. We'll talk with Major Curtis Hartley of the Salvation Army about raising money in a down economy. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto.